that it's as it is, and I'm certainly glad that it's a little bit warmer than it has been the last few weeks. We're going to study this morning about the gospel message, and certainly as we think about the gospel message, it's something that's just life-saving. There's a term that comes to mind, and it certainly, as individuals, we must be willing to hear that which God has said to us through His book, the Bible. Getting what I need to get. So we'll go to plan B. What's the definition of the gospel? What do we usually say? Good news. Good news. I don't know if I agree with that totally. It should be the best news. Best news we've ever heard. Because, again, the gospel message, you know, is life-changing. It is not only changes our lives here upon the earth, but it also prepares us for that home with God the Father in heaven by following God's plan. W. Vines uses the term to denote the good tidings of the kingdom of God and the salvation through Christ. Again, good tidings of the kingdom of God and salvation through Christ. And we again think about the title of this series, God's Plan for Man, and we see that so much in the good news. As we read the scriptures, it just takes us from being a worldly individual to realizing that which God has prepared for us and the love that He has in making and accomplishing and carrying out His goals for man. And certainly as we get into the lesson, we're going to see that we also have a part to play in that. That we must follow God's plan. What is our responsibility when we hear the gospel message?
To listen.
To listen.
To spread it.
To spread it. It's working sometimes. I need to back up. I'm several pages away, so I'll catch up to that in a minute. Is the sound working okay? Okay. Our responsibility goes beyond just listening and spreading. You know, we got to spread that which the gospel says. We got to obey it. We've got to do what it tells us that we are to do. Certainly, it's important for us to listen and to learn and to hear, but to obey. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 17, "What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And this is, he doesn't answer that question, but we also see that it's important for us to be obedient. Because if we aren't obedient, then certainly we're going to be condemned by our God on that day of judgment. But Paul, in talking to the brethren at Thessalonica, said basically the same thing, that we must be obedient. And if we fail to be obedient, then God is going to condemn us. Now we got it.
just tell me when you want to go up on it.
Tell me when you're ready.
Just tell me when you want to click the next slide.
Okay, next slide. Next slide. Okay, that's where I need to be. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul tells us the value of the gospel. And he says in his statement of faith, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks." He was proud of that which God had given to him. Because again, as I said before, it was a life-changing message that he heard. As he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him, he knew that there was something that he was doing that was wrong. And as he began then to be taught that which God wanted him to do, he immediately did it. And he was willing to share that news with those that he had been trying to take into bondage, take to trial, and perhaps even be killed. He was not ashamed of that which he had been trying to destroy. Instead, he was striving to do that which God told him to do. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He recognized it as the power of God to salvation. And that's something that we also have to come to the point in our lives that we recognize that the gospel message, God's plan for man, involves us hearing and doing that which he tells us that we ought to do. We don't do it out of compulsion. We do it because we love him. You know, and this was pointed out last week in our last lesson, and Chuck did a good job with that. But we need to recognize that we are to love God because God is love. He first loved us, and we need to make sure that we are doing everything that we can do. And again, the gospel message is not just for a certain group of people. It's for everybody. God's desire is that all would be saved. But again, we have to hear and we have to be obedient. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel message is powerful. It's the message of Jesus. Last week we talked about the equality of Godhead and how God and Jesus are one. That Jesus was with God in the beginning, and all things that were made, by him. And we need to recognize again that this message, the gospel of Christ, the New Testament, is that which Jesus wanted to carry out. And again, we know that there's a third being that's also responsible for that gospel message. And Jesus promised that to the apostles that he was not going to leave them alone. He was going to leave them, but he was not going to leave them alone. That he would send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that would guide them. But the message that we are hearing is the message of Jesus Christ. He is the one that God says has given all power and authority to. So certainly he has that power and that authority. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is to be proclaimed. Each Christian is to share it with those around them. And again, we know that the Great Commission was given to the apostles. But that wasn't the only one that it was given to. The apostles took that same message to those people that they preached to, those who were becoming Christians, and they also went out and did the same thing. They took the gospel to the lost. And it just kept evolving. When one became a Christian, then they had the responsibility to take the good news to the lost of the world. And we need to recognize that it is to be proclaimed. The gospel message is encouraging. It provides us with a foundation upon which to stand and gives us hope of salvation. You know, we talk about Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, but also we need to recognize that chief cornerstone had other stones that made up a foundation. And those things are the gospel message. Those things that we are to do, that we are to love God, that we are to love one another as ourselves. And we're to do all those things that the message tells us that we ought to do, that really truly makes us one with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We become one with them. We're a part of that family. Just as we have a great family here at North Brevard, we love one another, we care for one another, and we look out for one another. The gospel message does that same thing. It encourages us to be concerned, to show our love, not by just simply words, but also by the deeds that we do. So it's encouraging. It tells us that there is a home prepared for us. We have a reservation already made in heaven. And if we continue to do that which God has commanded, then we can rest assured that we will obtain that home. Not because of what we do. Remember what we studied a few weeks ago about grace.
The other part about it is it's unique.
Say again?
Unique. There's no other God that people have created or worshipped that allowed himself or herself to be killed by those that are supposedly worshipping him and then be resurrected. There's no other religion like that anywhere.
And this is something we need to recognize, that there is no other religion like Christianity that says we are to truly love one another. You know, what theology says that we are to love our enemies? I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do sometimes. It takes effort. But if Jesus could hang on the cross of Calvary and with some of his last words say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Surely, we can have a love in our heart for our enemies. I'm not saying that we have to accept that which they preach and teach. I'm saying that we must do as Jesus did. And lastly, the gospel is God's message. It's his plan for man, and we must be obedient to it. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" And we look at what Jesus says here in Mark and what he also says in Matthew chapter 28. And we see that commission, that command that he gives to mankind. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we look at these words and we see so much in them. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And so we look at this and sometimes those little words mean a whole lot. And we're going to run into these and we'll point these out a little bit more. But just by way of passing, the word if, the word but, means a lot to us. And there's more to just simply hearing and believing, but we must carry out God's plan. And this is what our responsibility as men and women are today. Next slide. It is the responsibility of today's Christians to take the good news to the lost in our community, nation, and world. We can't think that the Great Commission was just only applicable to the apostles. We also have that responsibility today. We have more venues to do this than any who have lived before us. And I think sometimes because we have so many opportunities and so many ways of spreading the good news, that we're going to be held more accountable than those people were in the first century, because we have more opportunity. It's easier for us to do it than it was for those people back in the first century. And we need to recognize that our responsibility as we live in the world today. We truly are now the Lord's mouth. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are to take that gospel message to the world. We must be workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Next slide. Each and every one of us, as I said, have a responsibility, as the gospel message tells us, that we must listen to that message. We must hear it. And of course, our responsibility as Christians is to teach it. The non-Christian is challenged also in the text of Mark 16 and verse 16. According to Wayne Jackson, the text conveys the universal nature of the gospel. What's that mean? Say again.
It applies to all.
It applies to all. Song. Oftentimes, when I hear something like that, songs pop into my mind. You know, the blessed gospel is for all. I don't know if that's the title of it, but of one the Lord has made the race, from one came to fall. Does that ring a bell with anybody besides this old gray-haired guy? You know, those are things that we need to recognize, that truly God has a plan for all mankind. He doesn't want anybody to be saved, but basically, we must be obedient. We've got to hear it, and we've got to obey it. And again, don't think that I'm saying that we are responsible for our own salvation, because our works cannot save us. We're still basically sinful people. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. And we need to recognize that because we sin, we don't have to stay in that. I have a phrase that I like to use, and that is that we can't be sinless, but we can sin less and less and less. We are growing as Christians. When we become a Christian, when we rise out of that water grave of baptism, a new creature, does not mean that sin is never going to affect us again. We still stumble. We still fall. And it doesn't matter who we are. There's no one that's exempt from that. Elders aren't. Deacons aren't. Preachers aren't. And fellow Christians aren't. We all mess up sometimes. And God has a plan for that also. that Jesus' blood can continually cleanse us as we walk the walk of man. Number two, the conditional nature of God's plan. We need to see again that man does have a part to play in it. We must be obedient. And when we sin as a Christian, we must repent of that sin and go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. And if we will do that, if we mold ourselves around God's plan, God's going to take care of all these other things. But we must do our part in following that plan. Number three, the result of unbelief. The text says that there are going to be those who will not believe that which God said, will not be obedient. And what's the end result of them? The Bible says they're going to be condemned. There are two final abodes that have been prepared. And we read about that in the rich man and Lazarus. And we never need to fail to say that there is a place of condemnation. And if we fall into that judgment of condemnation, whose fault is it? It's ours. I'm responsible for me. Oh, y'all can encourage me. You can lift me up. But basically, when I stand before my God in judgment, I'm going to give an account of the life that I have lived. And even though I may strive to lift you guys up and encourage you, you all are going to give an account of the life that you have lived. So we have a part to play. And
Brother.
The result of unbelief.
Brother.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I was thinking that the pattern that God has used from the very beginning, way back to Abraham that I know of, was to tell the next person, tell the next person. He told Abraham, and then Abraham taught Isaac and Isaac, and on we're teaching. And we pick that up when we're training our children. We say there's no manual to train the children, because you're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. What you learned in the past, you apply to training the children. And God used that same thing when he was teaching us to teach somebody else. Teach somebody else so that we'll all know the same thing. And now we get here to the gospel, and he's telling them the same thing again. Spread the gospel. Go out and share. Share the gospel. But I thought also when you said sinless, as we grow in the Lord, we're going to sin less. And I look at all these white hairs in here, and some of us are not so white because we use Clairol. But we got a lot of wisdom in us. And so we should be sinning less as an example, not only for us to tell our children, but for them to see in us. Where you want to say something awful and you shut your mouth and maybe walk away. The children notice that. And they notice when you let it fly too. My son would really get on us bad about that. Mom, you're a Christian. You can't say that. And I said, oh Lord, he's right, you know. But as we grow in the Lord, we should. Just like you said, sin less.
And this again is a part of the growth process as a Christian. The more we come to love God the less we're going to sin. You know, Mary and I have been married over 50 years. I loved Mary when we married. But I didn't love her near as much as I love her now. And that love continues to grow. And the longer we're together, the more we fit together. And we need to recognize that is an analogy that should be true with our Christianity. That we show the love of God by the lives that we live, by the examples that we set, by the deeds that we do. And we grow and we mature as a Christian. It's not enough to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. We must do what he commands. Obedient followers must give their lives to Christ by following God's plan of salvation. Each step or each commandment is essential, and they are to be obeyed. Next slide. Some say there are 5 steps to God's plan of salvation. I'll stop right there just for a minute. You know, some people call members of the Church of Christ the 5-steppers because we've preached hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. But there's at least 6, and you may want to add more than that, but being faithful to death is essential. Because as a Christian, if we just do the 5 steps and we say, okay, we're saved, well, that's directly opposed to that which the gospel message teaches. We must live faithful to death, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We need to be faithful, and we need to grow in that faith. It's not something, again, that we do immediately upon our baptism. It's just the first step in a process that if we continue to be faithful and continue to grow as a child of God, then we will receive that promise. And we need to recognize that there are more than just the 5 steps in order to get that home that God has promised. Anybody think of any other steps that you want to throw in there? Now, some steps now might have to oppose, but you can throw them anyway. Let's go on the next slide. And this to me is some of the is a big part of that foundation upon which we live. The death, the burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And to whom is he talking here? Who's he writing this letter to? All of them? Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. You know, he's writing to Christians. He's telling Christian people. Now, is it applicable to those who had not yet become a Christian and maybe even leading them to become a Christian? Absolutely. But he's talking primarily here to Christian people. And he says here, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I promised to you, unless you believed in vain. And we look at this, and again, Paul is proclaiming that gospel message. He's taking the message to the church in this particular account. As a Christian, you know, we come together to grow. We come here this morning in order that we might grow in the wisdom and what the gospel message tells us that we are to do. And we can't neglect that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit, but what happens on, how many do we have on Sunday morning? 160, 170?
Sometimes we have 200. Why don't we always have 200?
Yes, every service. Every, you know, because we are doing something good here for our souls in coming to Bible study. And we do something good on Wednesday evening when we come to Bible study. And we, as a congregation, should be encouraging those who do not attend. They're missing an opportunity. And maybe even a life-saving opportunity, or a soul-saving opportunity. And so we need to look at this and realize that the gospel is something that Paul is sharing here to the church, and we also have that responsibility. And he goes on and talks about that it's this message that I preach to you, and we have to be careful and make sure that the message is that which God intended it to be. Because there are things that are being taught in the church today that we have to be aware that may not be just exactly. And that's where we study and be Bereans in heart. What did Bereans do? What did Bereans do? They searched the scriptures. Why? Make sure that the things that they were being taught were true. And that's our responsibility, individually and as a group. Don't ever believe what I tell you. You search the scriptures and make sure that's what the Bible says. Number one, reason why I want you to do that, if I'm wrong, I want you to tell me I'm wrong. Show me I'm wrong. And I'm not saying that in a self-righteous way. I'm saying it because I want to go to heaven. And if I'm preaching something that's wrong, then I need to be taught that. And also, the congregation as a whole. He preached that which he received. Who did he receive it from? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one in purpose for us. They're all saying the same thing. They don't change that which one of the other Godhead have said. They're all saying the same thing. And he says that gospel message is that whereby you can be saved. Same thing Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16. But he throws something else in here. And that little word, if. That little word, if. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you. And it's essential that we wrap our arms around the gospel message and don't turn loose. Just hang on. Next slide. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we see that message taught to us over and over again. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why is that so important?
Without that, we can't be saved.
Without that, there's no salvation. There's no salvation without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's all a part of God's plan. And if we leave that out, then we're leaving out an essential work, an essential part of God's plan. God sent his Son. God so loved the world. God so loved mankind. that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus was a sacrificial lamb. Just as God provides the sacrificial lamb for Abraham, he also provided us with that sacrificial lamb that takes away our sins. We need to recognize that the death and burial and resurrection is part of the foundation upon which our faith is built. Next slide. Can we have confidence in our salvation? Peter tells us that in 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. That we can have confidence in our salvation because it's God-given. Christ came to establish it. The Holy Spirit directs us in those things that we are to do in order to obtain that. In chapter 1 also, of 2 Peter 2 or 1, we have the Christian graces that we are to grow in. Those graces are a challenge. And to be perfect in that, I don't think it's possible to be perfect. We can grow toward perfection, but we can never obtain that perfection that Jesus exemplified for us. He is that perfect example which we're to strive to follow. And I encourage you, you know, we can have men as role models for us, but that example that we're to strive for is Jesus Christ. If we put a confidence in men, we're going to fail. If we put our confidence in Christ, he will lead us to glory. And certainly it is a growth process. It's kind of like the situation where also I think about a lot. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm growing in that process. We also, next slide, I think you're ahead of me. Some of this got left out. We can fall from grace. That's something that we need to always remember as a Christian. We can fall from grace. Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to justify by the law, you have fallen from grace. And that was one of the problems with the church in Galatia, that the Judaizing Christians had come in and had deceived some of the people to believe that you must also add the law of Moses to the law of Christ. And that's entirely wrong. So we can fall from grace, just as the Galatians did. To relinquish the truth of Christ is to give up the salvation that comes through. Look at that again. To turn away, to relinquish the truth of Jesus is to give up the salvation. God told Joshua when he became the leader of the children of Israel after Moses had died, he said, as I was with Moses, I promise I'll be with you. He said, be strong and very courageous. Follow the law. Don't turn it to the left or the right, but remain in that which I command you. And if you will do that, you will have success. Is it any different today? Is it any different today? If we do that which God has commanded, we are going to have success. We can be successful in a lot of ways, but success in our Christian life is that which is most important. There are those today who claim to be Christians but do not accept Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They say it's not possible. To do so is to deny his message of salvation. Without Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there was no sacrifice for the sins of mankind. That's what you said. We follow Christ because his death, burial, and resurrection, and this is the good news. Now I'm caught up with you. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, Paul says, I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. How did these Judaizing teachers pervert the gospel of Christ? Go ahead.
You have to keep both. You have to keep the law of Moses, and you have to keep what we understand about the law of Christ. And he said, I never said that. I never said anything about that. This is, I think, his first letter he wrote after, you know, to the folks up in Galatia, is to say, that's not what I taught you. Don't listen to
him. And it's the same thing we're going to get here in 8 and 9, that they added something to it. Added something to that which had been delivered to them. He says in 8, but even if we, that is the apostles, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now I again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be condemned. If he's preaching something other than Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, the gospel message. He says in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The most important thing that we can do in our life, the most important thing that we can do in our life is to commit ourselves to being a Christian. That's the most important thing we can do. More important than the mate that we marry. More important than the job that we choose to do upon this earth. More important than anything. Next slide. The gospel of salvation, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Who's the him that Paul is referring to in preaching to the Ephesian brethren? In him you also trusted.
Jesus. Christ.
Christ. Okay. Can't read lips very good. In Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. You believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you were willing to become a part of him, a part of his body. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because of the word that was preached to them, they believed. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? We can be a son of God. Even though we may not think we're worthy, God does. And we need to recognize that we are part of his family. And if we remain faithful to death, then we can obtain that home with him in heaven, and we will glorify the Father. Jesus talked about glorifying God. And he said, now glorify me by raising me up. The death, the burial, the resurrection, of Jesus Christ is the gospel of our salvation. In Acts 5 and verse 32, and we are his witnesses for these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. That was the last bell, so we're going to skip a lot of these other slides, which is just kind of a summation of what I was talking about today. And we're going to talk about next Sunday. Doug will be speaking on repentance and confession. And I'm going to allow him to put all the scriptures down, because I can read them off, but you'll never be able time to write them down. Lots of scripture next week to be covered. Thank you for your attention.